Welcome to Anchored in the Word.
When is the last time you just said, Lord, I just need to be with you. I just want to be with you. I just want to hang out with you. I want to sing to you. I want to tell you how much I love you and what you mean to me. And just that idea of just sitting before Him. And we're all busy, aren't we? I mean, in this day and age, we're all busy. But when we get to be too busy for Jesus, man, we are really too busy, right? And we don't want the Bethlehem busyness of there's no room at the inn.
This is Anchored in the Word, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Coastlands, in Eatontown, New Jersey, with our pastor and teacher, Bill Beckelman.
Would you be surprised to hear that God wants nothing from you? He doesn't want things in the way that you might think of them. God doesn't need your time, money, efforts, or good works. He desires your heart, your devotion, and your love. Remember the story of Mary and Martha? Martha busied herself with many things, but Mary chose to worship Jesus. At the close of Pastor Bill's message, I'll be sharing with you how you can get a copy of today's broadcast of Anchored in the Word. Subscribe to the podcast or simply get in touch with us. But for now, please open your Bibles to the book of 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, as we join Pastor Bill.
In the same way that you couldn't help but talk about your best friend in the best light when you had one, the idea is, and that's the way you should treat your best friend, it's the same thing with Jesus. And to the degree that I'm in fellowship, I'm in koinonia with Him, will be the degree that I would share Him. It will be an automatic. I won't have to trump anything up. It'll just come out of me. I can't help but do it. That's what we're watching here. We're seeing a guy who has a relationship with Jesus, his best friend. Jesus is his best friend. And as a result of it, look what comes out. And by the way, John is called the Apostle of Love because you read his letters. It's all about love. You read all the way through. Man, he talks about love. We read about John in the Gospels. Where was John? As much as when we hear about the guys that were there, he was always close to Jesus. When I say close, I mean physically. He was always in close proximity to Jesus. And I'm going to tell you something. We know this about God, because Jesus is God. Amen? That He is not a respecter of persons. That's so, come on, Peter, James, and John, come over here. You know, I like you guys better than the rest of them. Even Judas, the guy, he had him watching the money. I mean, he gave everybody a fair shake, didn't he? I mean, think about that. He didn't invite anybody in any deeper. In other words, the 3 over the 12th. It wasn't just 3 twelfths, so that's a quarter, right? Is that my math right on that? Okay, but the point is, you can have as much of Him, you can be as close to Him as you want to be. That's just the way that it is. Remember, there's enough of Him to go around. It's like, well, I don't get too close because, you know, somebody, you know, Pastor Bill, I don't want to take anything away from his relationship with Jesus. No, don't think that way. There's enough of Jesus to go around for all of us. And here's what I would say to you. Look back at verse 3, where he says, we declare to you that you may also have fellowship with us. I got my best friend, and I want him to be your best friend, so you'll be my best friend. That's what church is, you know. You understand that? We're going to learn this as we go through. You know, this is my commandment, that you love one another. How do we do that? How do people that are so different, so diverse, different backgrounds, different personalities, different everythings, and how can we not kill each other? I mean, think about it. I mean, in this day and age, because of our best friend. I mean, if Jesus is our best friend, we're going to be best of friends. That's just the way that it is. It's that simple. So we need to encourage one another for Jesus to be each one of our best friends. And how do we treat our best friend? Think about your best friend. I mean, I'm thinking about high school. You know, I was always with my best friend. We were inseparable. You know what we actually did? It's stupid now that I think about it. But we did it. We actually went and took, We weren't looking out for our scholastics. We just wanted to go and make sure that every class that we took were in the same classes, the whole schedule. Am I the only one that ever did that? Is there anybody? Can I get a witness there? Okay, a couple people. Good. Okay, I wasn't, because it was a stupid thing, by the way. But anyway, we were in the same classes, man, because we were inseparable. We had a lot in common, and we shared. Now, that was the thing on a flesh level, and it was enjoyable to a degree, but I'm talking about something now that goes far beyond something of the earth. I'm talking about something that's supernatural when you make the king of the universe your best friend. Did I give you your homework assignment yet? Okay, good. Right now you're going to get it. Okay, so I'm going to give you, there's four answers on this test, if you want to call it that. And guess what? I'm going to give you the first one. So you're going to have 25% of your test answered today. So you know, 75%. So you got to answer two right to get to pass, I guess. But here's what I'm saying to you. When John wrote this letter, he's talked about at least four blessings that he experiences in his walk with the Lord, in his fellowship with God. And he wants to share them. And the first one is found in verse 4. And these things, this is your first answer. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. Yeah, your joy may be full. Now, who wouldn't want, anybody in here not want fullness of joy? Raise your hand. I'm not even raising my hand. Anybody in here not want fullness of joy? Raise your hand. Okay, no hands went up. Just for the record. Okay, so everybody wants joy in their life. Now, here's what joy is. It's different than happiness, all right? Happiness, and I think we've all been happy at one time or another. Maybe you're happy right now. Good. But happiness is dictated somewhat by the circumstances that we find ourselves in, right? You know, something good happens and, man, I'm happy-go-lucky, right, or whatever. But then something, you get a diagnosis and, oh, I'm not so happy anymore. There goes my happiness. It flies away. It's fleeting, right? And that's the way happiness is. Jesus never promised that we'd have happiness. And he's not really that concerned about our happiness. But he does say that we can have a fullness of joy. See, joy isn't dictated by my circumstances. Oh, it is I guess you could say it's a feeling. Because when you look at the word how you would define joy, it would be a gladness. I like being glad, don't you? Man from glad, you know, I like being glad. I like it when you're glad too, by the way. The more of us that are glad, the better off we all are, to be honest with you. And we write these things to you that your joy may be full. What, is it just enough to tell you that? No, he's telling you how your joy can be full. He's going to tell us as we go through the letter. And here it is, fellowship with your best friend, Jesus. Fellowship with God to the degree that you are in fellowship with him, will you have joy? Now, our joy, I don't know about you, I got to be honest with you right now. My joy isn't always full. What about you? I mean, you know, I got a joy meter here. Sometimes it's almost all the way down there. That's great, you know. Other times, you know, something happens and my joy wanes. You know, I get my eyes on the circumstance or whatever and my joy meter goes down. And I'm going to tell you something. That's a choice that I make. My joy cannot be stolen. You cannot steal somebody's joy. Oh, you kill joy. You remember you can't kill joy. You can't kill somebody else's joy, but they can give it up. They can give it up. See, other people come into your life. They slam you. They say this or they do that to you. And you're thinking, oh, man, they're killjoys. No, that was your problem, not theirs. They may be whatever they are, but you allowed that. You got your eyes off of your Savior. And the idea is you lost your joy somewhere. We got to be honest. We can lose that joy. You know, that's one of the things that's happening with Christmas. I don't want to get too far off here. But This is how the stupidity of the world. You think you can take Jesus out of Christmas and still have joy? You can't do that. This is why now we're reading about the biggest shopping day of the year. How joyful is that? Somebody gets... Now, I don't want to make a joke about that. Somebody got shot, apparently. And you know, joy to the world, you know. I'm sorry, you know, it was about a TV set. You know, I was buying my wife a Christmas present, and so there was somebody told me about some fisticuffs. over some Christmas presents. I'm thinking, what's wrong with this picture, right? Where's the joy in that? Well, you take Jesus out of the whole thing. It becomes about shopping and the flesh and the deals you're going to get and everything else. And you take Christ, happy holidays. You know, you can't even say Merry Christmas anymore. That's too, you get what I'm saying? You take Jesus out, there's no joy. Without Jesus, there's no joy. Now, listen to this. This is the way you can remember. J-O-Y, okay? Jesus, got to be first. He's always got to be first. Others, then yourself. That's Matthew 23, 35 through 37. You love the Lord your God, Jesus, with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor, others, as you already love yourself. Why? You see that? J-O-Y. Love Jesus first. He's your best friend. And then as a result of that, you're going to love others. And then yourself comes last. You know, so someone says, that's a great acrostic. Jesus, others, yourself. I'm going to tell you something. That was modeled by Christ himself. He was an others-centered, or God-centered first, then others-centered, and he put himself last. But I'm going to tell you something. Some of us think that, well, if I put Jesus first, and then I'll put others second, and then I'll put myself third, and I'll have joy. Well, that's a formula. That's not what we're talking about. What's being said there is if you have Jesus first, you will have joy, and you will put others in the second place. You'll care about people. People that love Jesus should care about people. John's going to speak to that. And then their self, well, it's not that they don't take care of their self. The Bible says that no man ever hated his own flesh, but cherishes it. But they'll be in the right order, okay? Now, so remember, Jesus first, others and yourself. Before you were a Christian, it was you and then others maybe. Yo, right? That was yo, right? Yo. Just so you can remember, no Jesus. You got yo. All right. So now you take with Jesus out and you got others and yourself. Others and yourself without is oi, right? The other way is oi. It sounds Jewish, right? But so it only works with Jesus first. Anyway, so don't forget that. It's very important. If I have Jesus first in my life, if he's my best friend and I'm fellowshipping with him, I'll have joy. Not just that, I'll have a fullness of joy. Have you ever gotten to the point, and I know you have as a Christian, you realize, man, I'm pretty cranky. You know, somebody close to you points it out to you. The Holy Spirit, hopefully. But it could be your wife or husband or somebody else that loves you. And I realize that whenever that happens to me, it always goes back to the same thing. It's a symptom of something else. And I haven't been spending my quiet time with the Lord. And now listen, I cannot get away through a week without being in the Bible, folks. I just can't do it. I'm not at the stage where I can come up and fake this. I have to spend time in the Word. But here's what I'm saying to you. You can go to the Bible and seek a Bible study and even, you know, for your outline and this and that and the other and not really get too close to Jesus in the process. If I go with a certain heart, I mean, you get what I'm saying? Let me ask you a question. When is the last time that you just sat before the Lord with no agenda other than, I want to spend time with my best friend right now? Prayer, that's with my best friend. Yeah, because you got a list, you got an agenda. I need prayer for this, I need prayer for that. So I'm not against prayer. He wants us to bring our prayers to him. When is the last time you said, Lord, I just need to be with you. I just want to be with you. We want to hang out with you. I want to sing to you. I want to tell you how much I love you and what you mean to me. And just that idea of just sitting before him. And we're all busy, aren't we? I mean, in this day and age, we're all busy. But when we get to be too busy for Jesus, man, we are really too busy, right? And we don't want the Bethlehem busyness of there's no room at the inn. My Lord, the whole story is about him and there's no room for him. I mean, think about that poor innkeeper, man. If he knew that for the rest of time he was going to be known as the guy, there was no room for Jesus, I mean, he would have made room or something at that point. But the idea is, it wasn't just him, though. There was no room for Jesus in there where he was going to be born. And that's the way he's getting pushed out of everything, isn't he? Isn't he getting pushed out of Christmas? Happy holidays. I mean, you can't even say Merry Christmas. It's got Christ in it, right? So you can't say that. And there's no law against it, but just people are doing it. because they feel pressured to do it. We got to take Christ out of everything. And you'll find that the result will be no joy. No joy. Take Jesus out of it. There's not any joy there. There's not to be any joy to be had. But that should not be the case with us, right? I mean, let's face it. We're the ones that he's left here, and he wants us to have a fullness of joy. It's contagious. It's unusual even in these last days. And listen, your joy is proven when you come up against something that would seek to inflict something that's not joy on you. You know what I mean? But you can get to a point where you got so much Jesus that nothing, it's not bothering you. It's just not bothering you no matter what someone would do. I like what someone said, made an observation about Jesus on the cross. When they knew that he was dead, how'd they find out? They stuck him with a spear. And it says blood and water came out. He didn't move. He didn't react. And the same way is true when the joy meter is filled up, man. Somebody could come in there and they could say whatever they wanted. Not going to affect me, man. I've been hanging out with the lover of my soul, and that's a reality. And so when I lose my joy, the good news for me is I know where to go find it. I just got to go back to the well. Isn't that song by Casting Crowns? I love that song. I'm not well enough to sing it, but does anybody know that song? Go to the well. I love that song. But he's just saying, we got to go back to the well. Go back to Jesus. We've drifted away. And when we do that, we get cranky, we get ornery, we get downright mean if we stay long enough away. And what's the answer? To beat ourselves up with it? No, just go back to the well. John's going to show us not just who this person is that needs to be your best friend, but he's going to show you how that friendship or fellowship is maintained with him as we go through this book. Now, your homework assignment is this. You are to go through, there's 5 chapters in the book of 1 John. So you want to read it over and over and over again. And as you're doing it, you say, Jesus, I want you to show me what these blessings are that we're looking for here in this. And I'm going to give you a hint here. You got one right already. Number 4, verse 4. These things we write to you. In other words, John's saying, I'm writing these things to you because, okay? So there's 3 more that I want you to find. Chapter and verse of the blessings of fellowshipping with Jesus. The blessings of fellowship. And there are a lot more than this, but specific that John's going to deal with. So you got that? Is that clear? You've got one blessing, a fullness of joy. A fullness of joy, not just a little joy, not just half joy. We're talking about that joy meter is buried on the upside. And so he's giving us this description of his best friend. And his best friend is Jesus. And he needs to be mine too. He wants to be that. And there will be no excuse for him not being my best friend other than I chose not to have him in that position for whatever my reasons were or are. And so today can be a new start for us, right? I mean, in your mind, you have to decide, don't we? Somewhere along the line, we ought to decide, well, that's my best friend, right? Whether it was you were describing somebody to someone else, this is so-and-so, my best friend. Or maybe you talked about it together. We're best friends. But there had to be that point in time where that reality became known, right? So that then we can live it out. Maybe this will be the first time for you today where you realize, you know what? My spouse can't be my best friend. Well, they can be second best, but they can't be my best friend. I'm a Christian, and my best friend died for me. I mean, physically died for me, rose from the dead. And he's alive, and he wants to pour into me. And so we're going to learn about John's best friend. And by the way, hopefully at this point in time, you want him to be your best friend too. He certainly wants to be that for you. You ever look at someone and say, man, they got quite a relationship with the Lord. Maybe you're a little jealous of that. And you wonder, you think, how did that come about? And you think, well, they were probably walking down the street one day, and they saw there it was laying on the street. They reached down and picked up the relationship with the Lord and stuck it in their pocket. That's what happened. It just kind of happened that way. No, it didn't happen that way. There was a decision made in their life somewhere along the line that I want Christ to be like Paul said. He said, to live is Christ To live as Christ. To die as gain. I count everything else, my education, everything that I've gotten up to this time, I count it all as, folks, dung. Get to, you know, dung. That's what Paul said. For the knowledge of Christ. For my friendship with Jesus. And if he had that, how do you think he ended up in prison at midnight in stocks and he's singing hymns? This is my commandment that you love. I don't know what he was singing at that point. That you love one another, whatever it was. And as a result of his joy, people were getting saved. He wasn't like, okay, so we're gonna do some witnessing in this prison tonight, you know. No, it's just he was living his life, man. His joy was overflowing on other people. And that's what he desires for us. So, wherever you find yourself, you are somewhere on the joy meter. You know, you're somewhere, wherever that is. You're down here, maybe, or you're in the middle. But he wants you all the way up. And how that happens is by your fellowship with him. It's that simple. But it's profound. It really is. It's simply profound. It really is. This idea of a fullness of joy. If you're here today and you've never given your life to Christ, and I mean that you're not born again, that's where it all begins. Everyone has to have that beginning where they step over the threshold of death into life. You see, Jesus is the Savior of the world. That means he's the only one that can save you from sin and the judgment that has to come as a result of sin. And he wants to save you. And how that happens is by a person giving their life over to Christ. It's a surrendered place. It's an acknowledging that you can't fix yourself, or you can't save yourself. And it's a giving over. And it's a turning from your own sin and turning to Christ. He's going to cover all your sin. He's paid the price for your sins. But that's where it begins in a person's life. You must say yes to Jesus. And if you don't know Christ, he's knocking at the door of your heart. He wants to be your best friend. But remember, when you get a best friend in the world, you have to meet them first, don't you? Before they can be your best friend, you got to know who they are. And that's where it all begins. And I'm talking about salvation now again. You say, well, Pastor Bill, I'm already a Christian. I'm already a believer. And I would say to you, okay, great. Now, where is Jesus in this whole thing in your life? Is he your best friend? He wants to be that now. So he's calling us all to that place. Just to let him have that place in our lives that he wants, that only he deserves, the first place.
There's much more Pastor Bill would like to share with you, but we've run out of time for today. This has been another edition of Anchored in the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Bill Beckelman of Calvary Chapel Coastlands in Eatontown, New Jersey. Pastor Bill will continue teaching verse by verse through the book of 1 John next time. All of Pastor Bill's messages through the Bible are available to listen to at our website, anchoredintheword.com. That's anchoredintheword.com. While you're at the website, you can follow us on Facebook, learn more about Anchored in the Word, Calvary Chapel Coastlands, listen to more of Pastor Bill's messages, learn about other ministries at Calvary Chapel Coastlands, as well as upcoming events and our location. This is all available at anchoredintheword.com. Well, that's all the time we have for today. From all of the production team here at Anchored in the Word, we want to say thank you for tuning in. We appreciate all of you that have supported this program. If you are a first-time listener or have been listening for a while, we would love to hear from you. Your testimonies have been a great encouragement to us. If you have an encouraging testimony to share, call us at 732-544-2225. That's 732-544-2225. Or send us an email at office@cccoastlands.org. Now, please make plans to join us again for the next study through the book of 1 John with Pastor Bill, as we stay moored in sound doctrine and anchored in the Word.